plan for this world. And it's a plan to rescue a people, not just individuals, but a people, one people, and bring them under Christ. Okay, there's a unity in Christ. And then he says in chapter 4, verse 3, therefore, given that Christ has brought you together, keep the unity. Make every effort to stay together. Okay? Now, God's people are going to need help to learn how to keep this unity, this God-given unity that we have. And so, in chapter 4, verse 11, Paul tells them that God has given them pastor teachers to teach God's people the word of God, that they might know how to grow in unity, to live out God's big plan. That's how it works. And you can see already, it starts with the mind. Gives them teachers to teach them the word. And the next part of the letter that we're looking at this morning, Paul wants to stress that the way that we learn to live God's plan for us is through the mind. It's through the mind. A change in living begins with a change in thinking. So look at chapter 4, verse 17, our first verse. He says this, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So Paul points out to his readers that now they're Christian, there needs to be a change in thinking. They used to be Gentiles, the non-Jews, and they used to think like Gentiles thought. But Paul says, no longer. No longer, says Paul. Change your thinking. Now that you're Christian, change your thinking. That's the big, big idea, if you like, up on the screen. Okay, now, if you're a Christian here, or you're thinking about becoming a Christian, change your thinking. That's where it begins. There are really three things about this change in thinking that I want us to look at this morning. The first is this. It's a change for the better. And let me read verses 18 and 19. They, that's these Gentile non-Christians, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Paul's talking here about the way that non-Christians think. And to be honest, it's not very attractive. And Paul really takes us on the journey in, which really begins by going into the mind of a non-Christian. And if you come with me, as you go into the mind, the first thing you notice is how dark it is. There's a darkness here. Now, that's symbolic. Because light in the Bible represents God's truth. Truth about God, about the reality of this world. And as you go into the mind of an unbeliever, there is a darkness. There's an absence of truth. Okay, there's lies, half-lies, deceit. Now, you might go into the non-Christian mind and you might find a big brain. You know, there's huge sort of things happening and cogs turning. Okay, but there's still a darkness because they're not engaging with anything of substance or truth. That's why it's this futile thinking, it's an emptiness. Now, I mean, it's pretty strong stuff. And if you're not a Christian here, I hope you're not sort of offended by this in an unhelpful way. But Paul tells us this because it's true. And I would put my hand up, I became a Christian at university, and before I was a Christian, I think Paul is totally right here. You know, I trained as a mathematician, so you know, you could say, my brain wasn't, you know, was able to sort of solve equations and do that sort of thing. But if you were to go into my mind, there was no truth about God, no truth about sin, about Jesus, about eternity. There was a darkness. If you went into my mind, it was all about me. About doing well, about trying to be somebody, about pleasing myself. But look, that's the mind there. So if we journey into this non-Christian, the mind is dark. But he doesn't stop there, because at the end of verse 18, he then goes into the heart. And the heart, there's not a heart that's pumping and alive, but a heart that's hardened. Again, it's a spiritual language which represents a stubbornness or a willful sort of rejection of God. So if you like, it's not just the mind that's the problem. It's not just intellectual, but actually the heart is the control centre of this non-Christian is saying, I will not yield to Christ. No, I want to go my way. And then, so it starts with the mind, a dark mind, to a hard heart to God. And then there's a loss of control. You see that in verse 19? There's a loss of moral constraints, a loss of capacity to feel shame or embarrassment. And therefore there's this just abandonment to anything goes. Just sort of whatever. Plunging into all kinds of activities which are sinful. And this is, if you like, the spiritual anatomy of a non-Christian. Got that? It's a dark mind, a hardened heart, and a loss of control. You see the progression? Now, why is Paul telling us this? Because if you've heard that, you probably ought to be thinking, man alive, what's he saying that for? And the reason that Paul is telling us this is because he wants to persuade us no longer keep living this life of darkness, of hardness, of out of controlness. Okay? And the way that Paul wants to persuade us no longer is to help us to see what we once were. He's done this before. Do you remember back in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, he said you were dead, spiritually dead, but Christ made you alive. Remember that? And then at the end of chapter 2, he said, you were once a million miles away from God, but then he brought you into the family. You're in. And now he's doing it again, do you see? He said, once your mind was full of darkness, but now the light of truth, the gospel, has brought light to your mind. You know the truth. And Paul says, look, don't go back. No longer live that way of darkness, but of truth and light. Do you see, it's a change for the better. I mean, essentially, why would you want to go back? Do you want to go back to that? Who wants to go back to that? Now, notice here that Paul is asking for a change. Okay, if you like, our default position is dark thinking. That's the default. Now, Paul's not saying, don't go over there. He's saying, come out. Come out from what you once were. Do you see the difference? It's not just saying, look, don't go there. And you say, okay, I won't go over there. He's saying, this is where you've come from. So come out. Come out of the darkness into the light. Do you see, it's quite different. Change your default settings. It's a bit like on a computer. You know when you install software on your computer and it has default settings. And say, for example, Word. My default setting on Word, well, it's not my default setting, the default setting on Word is my font size is 11 and my font type is Calibri. Anyone else have that? Yeah. Okay, first thing I do when I open the document is I change it. I don't know how to change the default settings, so someone tell me. But you see, in other words, all my documents will keep being 11-point Calibri until I change the default setting. And what Paul's saying here is change the default. No longer a dark mind, but a mind full of truth. See? Fill your mind with the truth. Ephesians. And I want to ask each of you here, that how are you doing with this? You know, what direction are you going in? And if this is darkness and light, which Paul says, no longer, come out. Now, one big criticism that the world makes against Christians, I don't know if you've heard this, is that Christians are people who have stopped thinking. Have you ever had that before? Like people say, you know, you've got your head in the sand, you are living in the dark ages. What else do they say? They just say, look, you're just totally blind to the reality. Surely, if you even just considered evolution, you'd know that there's no God. You know, you're brainless, you're mindless. Have you heard that? No. Well, okay. If you have, thanks, Baz. Okay, for the record, Barry said that. Okay, put it this way. Before I became a Christian, that's what I thought about you lot. Okay? So even if you don't know it, that's what people think about you. People think that you're... I actually used to think that people like you were stupid. Okay? And, okay, let's just sing our final song. But now I love you. I love you. Because you're my dear brothers and sisters. But no, people think that. And do you see how topsy-turvy it is? Because what they're saying is that you're in the dark, we're in the light. No. They're in the dark. You are the enlightened ones. Not because you're clever, but because God has enlightened you. You've understood the truth. And you're now, your minds are... There's light, and your hearts are alive for God, and you're able to live for Him. Do you see that? And so the students, I know some of them aren't here today, but we've been hearing the students that you had your mission week a couple of weeks ago, and we're really encouraged by that, aren't we? That they're trying to share the gospel with you know, massive university. But I just want to encourage you that as you do that, some people will think that you're the ones living in the dark. People will think that you're foolish and stupid even. And it's not true. You guys are some of the few people at the university that are enlightened, that actually know the truth about Jesus. And so don't go back. Don't be deceived. Okay? Paul says, no longer come out of the darkness into the light. Well, look, that's the first thing. Now, one objection that some of us might make at this point is, look, I think you're sort of overemphasising the thinking part. I'd be interested to know how some of you are finding Ephesians. I wonder if there's anyone here who would say, look, it's just too much focus on words and sentences and how words and sentences fit together and meaning. Okay, don't give me words. I want relationship. I want experience. I want to know God. I want to know Christ. Well, my question to you is, how did you come to know Christ? You see, the change in thinking that Paul wants us to make is a change that's already begun. So the second thing here is a change that's already begun. Have a look at verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So that question, how did you come to know Christ? Verse 22, you heard of him. See, somebody told you about Jesus. You heard and you were taught, you were instructed, you learned. Now, for me, it was a friend at university. God gave me a friend called Rick, and he told me about Jesus. Now, to be honest, I had to learn, because I thought Jesus was like this, and I was wrong. So I was taught by him. Do you see that? In other words, the journey to know Christ begins with the mind. Begins through my ears, addresses my mind. Let me tell you about Jesus. Engage with this. And back in chapter 1, Paul writes, you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed. The gospel is a message to be heard and understood. And Paul goes on in verse 22 to say, you were taught with regard to a former way of life to put off your old self,
which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God. In other words, part of that teaching was you're instructed to put off your old self and to live this new life that God has given you. You were taught that, yeah? You've been taught that? And the key idea where the change happens is in verse 23. Made new in the attitude of your minds. The renewal, biblical renewal, starts in the mind. Starts in the mind. And then it's through the mind that addresses the heart and then the hands. Okay? A renewed mind leads to a putting off and a putting on. In other words, your change in thinking has already begun, so you can't really say to me or to Paul or to anyone here, I don't want to think as a Christian, I want to experience, I want to feel. But that's not how you came to know Christ. You came to know Christ by engaging your mind, hearing, understanding, being taught. And just as you've begun, so continue. Look, two things here just to flag up. That comes out of this. First of all, Christianity is taught, not caught. Yeah? Taught, not caught. So look, if you want your kids to know Christ, we have to teach them about Christ. Yeah? If you want your friends to know Christ, you have to teach them about Christ. If we want Bradford to know Christ, the people in Bradford to know Christ, we have to teach them about Christ. No, they're not going to catch it like a fox if we just wander around. And that's why things like evangelistic meetings tonight with the Billy McCurry, as well as hearing his story, there's a gospel message. Paul's going to tell us the gospel that we have to get. And that's why I know the Bradford University Christian Union, you're starting an exploring Christianity course. I think it's starting next week. And again, it's a time where people can come and hear the message. I've got something to tell you. You know, engage brain. Also, as well as that, thinking isn't anti-relational. Okay, let me just be kind of clear about that. Look, does anyone here have a relationship where they don't engage their mind? Anyone have a relationship? I mean, the closest would be like a zombie. You kind of like, but I mean, to be honest, like zombies aren't known for their relationality. You know, they're not particularly sort of good at that. Okay, so you know, if you think about even sort of human relationships, in other words, knowing Christ is more than truth, but it's not less than truth. Yeah? It's bigger. It's not just filling our brains with facts, but it's not less than knowing truth. And that's why this church and the churches that we're trying to plant in Tingley and Bradford and beyond, that's why we're committed to the teaching of the Word of God. Because it's through the teaching of the Word of God that we will know God. See? It's through the Word, through the mind, that we come into relationship with God and know Him. Okay, final thing. Thinking, big idea is a change in thinking. We've had two things so far. It's a change for the better. It's a change that's already begun. And thirdly, it's a change that changes. This change in thinking changes. You see, Paul wants us to know biblical truth so that we will live it. Now, knowledge is not the goal. The goal is holiness. And Paul gives six examples to show how right thinking leads to right living. Now we're going to whiz through these. I want you to see the connection between right thinking and right living. Okay, how the relationship between the head and the hands. Okay, so the first one's going to come up. Let me read it out. So we're going to whiz through six just to show this. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. Okay, so the truth is that we're members of one body. Now, if you think, well, what are you talking about? We're lots of bodies. Well, you need to read Ephesians 1 to 3. But if you've got the fact that we're one body, That's what Jesus Christ has done to us. We're together. We're that close. Then I shouldn't lie to you, because if I lie to you, I'm in effect self-harming. Because it's not my body and your body. We're together. Okay? In other words, this unity that we have, that we're one body, helps me to understand how I'm to relate to you. Speak the truth. Speak the truth to your own body. Okay? Do you see the link? So basically, he doesn't just say, don't lie. He's not just saying, don't lie, Daniel. He's saying, don't lie because you're part of one body. Why would you? Yeah? Do you see the link? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, next one. We're going to run through these. Have a look at the next one. Can you see the link? It says, in your anger, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So the truth is that God's people have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, the devil, who is set against working against God's plan. And we know God's plan is to bring us together. God's big plan is a unity in Christ. And so the devil, not surprisingly, wants to tear us apart. He wants to divide us up, split us. For that reason, if I'm angry with you, if you've upset me and I'm angry, I mustn't let it fester. Because if I let it fester, the devil, he's got his foot in the door, and he will use that to tear us apart. Which is working against what God is working in us. See? And there's an urgency. Before sunset, sort these things out. Don't let the enemy get in so that he will tear us. Okay? Look at the next one. Verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So the truth here is that this unity that God has given us means that your need is our need. Someone here has a need, we share that need. If someone's hurting, we all hurt. And for that reason, when I work, I really have a new motivation to work. I don't just work to feed myself or my family. I work so that I can provide for you, my brothers and sisters. And you can be motivated to work hard so that you can provide not just for yourself and your families, but for one another, for those in need. You see that? So again, when we say work hard, it's not just work hard because you have to fulfill your potential. It's work hard so that you can provide for others. Because you now have a new concern for the family. Okay, you're getting the link. So basically, the bit underlined is like the mind bit, the truth. And the bit that's not underlined is the action. And the way Paul always speaks is, do this because of this. Do this because of this. Okay, it's not just a rule book. He's saying, know truth, and that helps you to live truth. Okay, we're through the next few. 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So again, it's saying, don't use filthy language. Don't use language that tears people down, but use language that builds people up. Why? Well, what is God doing in this world? He's building it up. If you look at this church, God's plan is to build us up. And so he's given us mouths to speak words to contribute towards that building up. The words that you speak today, you can either use to work against what God is doing, to tear down, or you can speak them so that we will be built up in line with what God is doing. Okay, next one, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Slightly more tricky this one, but I think the idea is the Spirit of God, he is at work in us to unite us. And so basically, any sin that we do that works to destroy or divide the unity of the body is working against the Spirit. And Paul says, don't work against the Spirit in that way. Because he's for you. Do you know how for the Spirit is? He's with you. He's sealed you. He's got you. He will keep you. He will take you to glory. He's on your side. Therefore, don't work against him. Keep the unity. And then the last one, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in God, Christ, God forgave you. But when someone hurts you, our natural inclination is to be angry, to sort of harbour bitterness, to sort of play it through in our heads again and again and again, to maybe try and find ways to hurt them back. But God's new way is for us to be kind, to be understanding, and to forgive. Why? The underlying bit. Because in Christ, God forgave you. I mean, get this. Basically, what Paul's saying here is that the truth of God's forgiveness lights up my mind. It doesn't just light up my mind, but it captures my heart that there is a God who has so loved me that he has given me his son, that now these hands want to work in new ways. That when they're dealing with people that are trying to hurt me, no longer do they try and hurt back, but they want to be kind and understanding and forgiving. See? Truth about God's forgiveness captures my heart as I see how loved I am, and that changes the way these hands work. In short, in the end, that bit there, in short, as we know God, we become like God. As you know God, you'll find that your image of him in you is restored, and you become imitators of God. And love as God has loved us. Now, the purpose of all the stuff on the screen here is not just for you to say, oh, I now see a link between this bit and this bit. Although it's kind of helpful to sort of see that. But these are real things. These are real things that God wants to work in us. And maybe today or the rest of this week, it'd be worth looking through those six examples and just thinking, how am I doing with these things? Let me renew my mind that I might renew the way that I live. Just if we're struggling with bad language or we're lazy or whatever. Okay, these are real truths for us. I'm going to leave that for you to sort of work through. But in the end, holiness is the passion of Paul. That's what God's working in us. So if it just stops with you having a realization of the link, that's not enough. Let's do these things. Look, as we finish then, can you see that Christian living is not about rule-keeping? Okay. My life as a Christian is not about do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this. Okay? That isn't the life of the Christian. My life as a Christian is more like live the plan. Live the plan that God has given you. Okay, so Ephesians 1-3 is know the plan. Ephesians 4-6, live it. Live the plan. See how different it is. You need to know it first, otherwise you can't live it. And if we live a life, a Christian life of do's and don'ts, this church will be full of people who are proud, people who are in despair, people who are hypocrites, and we will fail to reach this dark world for Christ. But rather, we need to change our thinking, renew our thinking, and that will capture our hearts and change our living. So know the plan and live it.